Welcome to Wisdom Trek with Gramps. Wisdom is the final frontier in gaining true knowledge. Our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, and to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. This is Gramps. Thanks for coming along on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Today is day 1589 of our trek, and it is time for Meditation Monday. Taking time to relax, refocus, and reprioritize our lives is crucial in order to create a living legacy. For you, it may be just a time alone for quiet reflection, or you may utilize some sort of structured meditation practices. In my life, meditation includes reading and reflecting on God's Word and in prayer. It is a time to renew my mind, refocus on what is most important, and making sure that I am nurturing my soul, mind, and body. As you come along with me on our trek each Meditation Monday, it is my hope and prayer that you too will experience a time of reflection and renewing of your mind. We are continuing our series this week on Meditation Monday as we focus on mastering Bible study through a series of brief insights from Hebrew scholar Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our current insights are focusing on accurately interpreting the Bible. Today, let's meditate on Bible study, conclusions, and affirmations. Insight number 65. Draw both positive and negative conclusions about what a verse or passage teaches. Have you ever had a hard time putting precisely what you think into words? As a writer and a student of the Bible, I have experienced this many times. It's one thing to put mental energy into studying Scripture. It requires digging into the materials that help me to understand a little bit about the Hebrew and Greek grammar, reading some background material, and evaluating the translation choices, that sort of thing. It's another thing altogether, though, to be able to articulate what I am finding. It can be very frustrating. The problem isn't writing or speaking, it's thinking with clarity. Here's some of the best advice I've received about clear thinking. To think with clarity, deliberately think about things both positively and negatively. I have read that the best way to come to a clear statement of what you believe is to express yourself in affirmations, that is, positive assertions, and denials, negative assertions. The exercise of trying to say what you mean and following it with what you don't mean has a way of separating the mental chaff from its wheat. For example, let's take the statement in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 that says, "Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in a position of authority have been placed there by God." You could say that you believe that this verse teaches that every ruler on earth has been put there by God and should therefore be obeyed. What exactly does that mean, though? Do you mean to say that there are no exceptions? How could you justify one? Is this verse an assertion of God's activity? That is, God appoints every ruler so that to disobey a ruler means that you're rebelling against God's choice? Maybe it's just a statement of God's sovereignty without crediting God for every last tyrant on the planet. Or perhaps Paul merely expressing a wish. He means to say everyone, since he knows that people can't change their circumstances under the Roman Empire. If your government does allow you to replace a ruler, does this verse forbid it? Why would you want to replace someone God has put in charge? What is it that you believe about this verse, and what don't you believe? An excellent way to sharpen your thinking and clarity in communicating to others is to carefully consider your Bible study results regarding what you think the text means and doesn't mean. It may take an hour or two, or even weeks of thinking, but the result will be precision and clarity. Next, let's move on to insight number 66. Affirm the obvious without extrapolating to the unnecessary. Have you ever seen one of those shows about how aliens built the pyramids? Or maybe you remember the Da Vinci Code, how a Christian sect in Egypt believed Jesus was married, so that must be the truth that all other Christians in the world suppressed. It's hard not to laugh, but many people can't see the logical flaw in these examples. They may not believe such things, but they can't necessarily tell you why they're wrong. They are classic examples of affirming the obvious truth and then extrapolating to the unnecessary and ridiculous conclusions. In other words, the conclusion dramatically overstates the data. Yes, the pyramids are amazing. Archaeologists don't know with absolute certainty how they were built. But because they can't reproduce the feat, that doesn't mean that aliens from space came here and did it. Some people in the ancient church believe that Jesus was married, but that belief doesn't magically translate to reality. I've talked about the need for logic and clear thinking in Bible study before, but I am not exaggerating when I say it is a critical tool for Bible study. I am also serious when I say that its absence is apparent all over the place. The examples above are funny, but the ones I'll share next hit closer to home. Think about these. Paul praised the Mosaic law, so we should keep the law, observe the Sabbath, and not worship on Sundays. Next is, early Christians in Acts spoke in tongues, so every Christian needs to. And the third example, translations disagree, so we can't know what the Bible says. These statements observe something obvious and then propose a far-flung conclusion that extends well beyond their observations. Christians are not commanded to keep the law, though Paul had some nice things to say about it. Christians in Acts did speak in tongues, but there is no command mandating it for everyone. Translations do disagree, but not everywhere, and most of the disagreements are not contradictory. When we study the scripture, we will see things in the text. Every conclusion we draw will have a direct line back into the text. If it doesn't, our thinking goes beyond the text and is flawed. So let's close with our verse for day from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And that's a wrap for today's meditation. Next week, we will continue our trek on Meditation Monday as we take time to reflect on what is most important in creating our living legacy. Thank you for joining me for this trek that we call life. And encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,588 daily treks or read the daily journals, they are available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow for more daily wisdom.